Cameron DeBaser.
And I'm Mark Howard.
And this is Talking Points. We are on our ninth lesson of this whole quarter about rest in Christ. The title of this week's specific study is The Rhythms of Rest.
We're talking about rests in between musical.
No, it's not rests and beats and notes, and it's not music at all, but it's rhythms is more of a reference to cycles, which is a reference to weeks, and leads us to the seventh day.
There it is.
Well, and as I think we've noted before, we've got an entire quarter about rest, and in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, you've got to talk about that. Yes. Of course, and it's rightly so. I would say, however, that this week's lesson, though it's titled separately from next week's lesson, really is a part one of the follow-up, which we're going to see in part two. So we're going to be talking about the Sabbath in detail this week and next, which is totally fine and should be expected in a quarter about rest. So, Pastor Howard, why don't you lead us in a word of prayer,
All right.
And then we'll start walking through our talking points for this week.
All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of gathering together, of studying your word. We pray, Lord, that you would send your spirit to give us understanding as we study the subject of the Sabbath. Lord, may our understandings be not just theoretical, but also practical, ways that we can have an enriched walk with you and an increased rest in Jesus. Thank you for hearing and answering, for we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So I started to chuckle just a little bit before getting into the talking points because I know what these talking points are coming up.
And yeah, I wondered if I had something in my teeth.
No, I would let that go for a while. Make the viewers enjoy that. For me. But in reality, we're not just diving into a study about the Sabbath. We're opening up almost as though the Sabbath is a new thing. So it's like Sabbath 101. This is some basic stuff. So when we walk through the talking points, you might be thinking like...
So this is August 28th. Plan for it to be a visitor Sabbath. Now, I know that this is going to probably post about a week before, so you only have a few days to scramble.
But this is a good Sabbath to bring people to Sabbath school because they're going to introduce them to the Sabbath. I mean, listen to these talking points. Okay, number one, God established the Sabbath at creation. Well, I don't mean to be flip about that, but we know that, but we're going to dig into it deeper. But that's from Sabbath, Sunday, and
Anybody
Monday.
Anybody who's become a Seventh-day Adventist has committed to that
truth. But if they're not a Seventh-day, this would be a great entrance ramp to this idea.
Why do you guys keep Sabbath? You know what? Come to Sabbath.
Exactly. Talk point number two, the Sabbath now memorializes redemption as well. So originally it was just creation. Mm-hmm. Now it's broadened out, and that comes from Tuesday and Wednesday. Another unique thing I'm noticing, Sabbath, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's really kind of breaking it down in chronological order here. And then finally, talking point number three, it all just comes from Thursday, which says we should consider carefully how we keep the Sabbath. So it goes from the principles to the practical. And since, as I was studying through this, it was only addressed on Thursdays, I have to assume that next week we're going to get more into the practical Sabbath keeping. But we'll touch on that just a little bit here this week. So, talking point number one. Well, even the Sabbath afternoon gives this nice little introductory statement. It's from the fourth paragraph. Why don't you read that for us?
What
we're going to do during this week, right? I've got it in the notes.
Are you pointing here and I'm looking here? Yes. During this week, we will study God's wonderful invitation to enter into a dynamic rest again and again with every seventh day.
Okay, so it's the rest we've already talked about the rest of the quarter, but now...
Like, even a monkey can do it. Pastor Howard can't.
That's okay. No worries. People understand. You're getting
it's a little better.
All right. So, I'm talking about God established the Sabbath at creation. This was not a fallback when things got... It was a part of his original creation. And how God... We're going to look at Genesis... I don't know if we're going to look at... We're going to talk about it. Where God repeatedly affirmed the perfection of his creation work. When we talk about creation, especially in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, it's not just an optional... Well, there might have been evolution. There might have been theistic. There might have been God did it... We understand creation to be the truth and the template, the foundation and basis of everything else that comes in the Bible, right?
Right.
And so when we look at the creation account, we're not just trying to draw out some detached spiritual allegorical points. We're looking at a literal story of actual events. Okay? So, when we go through Genesis 1, for example, in verse 4, verse 10, verse 12, verse 18, 20, over and over, one word
it was good.
It was good. That God made it, and then he reviewed it, and declared it to be good. Now, Genesis 1:31, at the close of the first 6 days, God declared all that he had made to be
very
good. So, creation, now hear me out on this, sounds a little crazy, but creation was complete on day six in terms of the work God had done in building and forming and filling this place, right? He himself declared good, 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 very good.
In six literal,
consecutive, contiguous days of 24, we know those things, right? But you could look at that and say, creation was therefore done. Because everything was good. God himself declared it so. But then, why don't you read what the Quarterly says on Monday, paragraph 1, right there.
Creation may have been very good, but it was not yet complete. Creation ended with God's rest and a special blessing of the seventh day, the Sabbath.
So, we need to think about that. If God's only purpose was to form this world and fill this world with life and humanity and set it in motion, all that was done on 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very intentional of God. There wasn't like a spare day lying around, or he actually finished early. He's like, I guess I got this day. It was an intentional, purposeful act of God to set apart a day with no other work specifically for this Sabbath rest, right?
That's right.
Now, let's dive in a little bit more. How did God go about doing the Sabbath rest?
It's just interesting to me because right now I'm doing some work on my house this summer. And when you have an extra day, as you're saying, you don't rest on it if you're in the middle of work.
Mm-hmm.
As a rule, in other words, if God just happened to have an extra day, he'd say, good, I can get more done.
Right. We could create a new thing.
As you made the point that he had finished creation, but it wasn't just it's kind of natural that, I got everything done, I'm going to, do nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very deliberate, I'm going to take a period of time before I, he didn't start a work of creation again, but he began working again.
Right. Well, why don't you look up Exodus 20, and I'll read Genesis 2, and the two go together, and there's something I think particularly interesting, and you look at the chronology of God's establishment of Sabbath at creation, okay? In Exodus 20, the commandment, and I'll start with Genesis 2, then we'll read your Exodus 20. But in Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3, we read, verse 1 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished." After those 6 days, right? Then verse 2, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done." So notice it repeatedly puts all the work in the past tense he had done, in the present tense he rested, right?
Right.
That's what he was doing. Then verse 3, "God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." So there's the ending of the work on the sixth day, the finishing of the work on the sixth day. Then on the seventh day, he rests from that work, and then he sanctifies the seventh day.
Okay.
After he rests. So there's a working, resting, then blessing in that order. Now, if you get in Exodus chapter 20, you see the same thing.
Exodus 20, verse 11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it."
Right. And so that may not seem like such a big deal to people, but when I was younger, I used to imagine, so how did they know what the next day was going to be? Did God tell Adam and Eve, tomorrow's going to be a Sabbath? Or as he entered the Sabbath, he set it apart as holy? And they go, no. It wasn't Sabbath until God did it.
Right.
And that's fascinating. Look at the statement. Why don't you read it there in the notes from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 47.
"After resting upon the seventh day, God sanctified it," or set it apart, "as a day of rest for man. Following the example of the Creator, man was to rest upon this sacred day, that as he should look upon the heavens and the earth, he might reflect upon God's great work of creation, and that as he should behold the evidences of God's wisdom and goodness, his heart might be filled with love and reverence for his Maker."
Now, several things stand out to me is, why would that be important for God to have his rest day and then review it, just like, because you notice in the first 6 days of creation, he always does the work and then he reviews it, calls it good, right, and declares upon it his verdict. Here on the seventh day, he does the same thing, but instead of working as his activity, he rests.
Right.
And then he looks back and he calls that the seventh day Sabbath, a blessing, sanctifies it. Now, I find this to be fascinating. Well, as the quarterly brings out on Sabbath afternoon, God simply made a day, the seventh day, and then he made it special. This first Sabbath, though Adam and Eve certainly witnessed it and participated in it, right? It wasn't given to man on Friday afternoon for you to go keep, because it wasn't a day yet.
Well, and it wasn't a rest yet. They hadn't labored for 6 days yet.
Right. So God, in his working sixth and then setting apart a seventh for his own rest, models for us.
You've heard people say things like, oh, I keep Sabbath every day. I worship every day, you know, when you get into the discussion of the Sabbath. But that's impossible, because inherent is the 6 days of labor.
Yes.
And when you bring them up, see, you have the rest is in connection with the 6 days of labor, which Adam and Eve hadn't had yet.
Exactly. So this whole first week is God's week.
Yes.
He's the one who worked, then he's the one who rests, and he exemplifies, and then he sets the example, right? So when we go through the rest of Scripture, it makes sense that, like, for instance, even Revelation, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. There's only one day, and the Sabbath is repeatedly affirmed as the Sabbath of the Lord. It's his, right? So I think that's fascinating, that that's how God established the Sabbath, completely devoid, by the way, of any reference to sin.
And it's interesting also that he didn't just establish it by a declaration, but by an application, by his own act. So it was just like, this is the Sabbath. He modeled it.
Right. And which should tell you the importance he places on it, for sure. Right? That it's not just an arbitrary rule. It's his own example.
That's exactly right.
But now, of course, we understand, as Sam Davis, that the Bible is more than just Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 3 came in and we had the fall. And so now the Sabbath takes on a broader significance as we go through Scripture in light of man's fall. Exodus chapter 5, verse 5. Do you have that for us?
I can very quickly. Exodus 5.
Now, as you're finding that, let me comment and say, a lot of times we look at this creation of the Sabbath, then we hop over to Exodus 20 to the commandment, and almost fuzz out the middle there, but demonstrating that God truly had the Sabbath in mind for his people before they even got to Sinai. He was making that clear.
Right. Well, this is in the context of Moses evidently drawing the people away for Sabbath observance, it says in Exodus 5:5, and Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor.
So what really got his attention? First of all, we know that there were a lot of them. You know, they were fruitful and multiplied greatly. But then Moses walks back in and disrupts their way of life by reinforcing the Sabbath principle of rest, and they're starting to, well, they're stopping their labor according to the commandment, and Pharaoh takes notice, right? Listen to this from Patriarchs and Prophets 2:58. In their bondage, the Israelites had to some extent lost the knowledge of God's law, and they had departed from its precepts. The Sabbath had been generally disregarded, and the exactions of their taskmasters made its observance apparently impossible. So notice that they had drifted from God's law, and then the expectation of work, and then you think, well, I can't go back now. It's impossible.
How many times have you worked with somebody on the Sabbath, and they're like, you know, I hear it, I see it, I see it's in the Bible, it's true. You don't understand, like, my job requires, and we get this mindset that because I have a job that requires something, I can't obey God.
That's right.
And so that was their mindset, evidently, when Moses came in.
They had gotten so entangled in that Egyptian work structure that now to start resting would be an apparent impossibility, right? But, she goes on to say, but Moses had shown his people that obedience to God was the first condition of deliverance. Now notice that this obedience to God's commandment, specifically the Sabbath now, is key to deliverance. And the efforts made to restore the observance of the Sabbath had come to the notice of their oppressors. So it started rattling the cages, if you will, and got their attention.
Yeah.
Now, obviously there are other ways that God got them out. There was the plagues of Egypt and the miraculous Passover event. But on their way out, Exodus chapter 16 again, we have the manna. further emphasize this importance of Sabbath keeping. We don't have to read all through that, but as you're aware, the Sabbath was re-emphasized in Exodus 16, where God declares...
it's interesting, you have in the notes Exodus 16:16-32, where you have the Sabbath in relation to gathering the manna, but verse 4 is interesting, where it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I'll rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not."
So the whole purpose of this was to be an object lesson for observance of God's law. And clearly he's keeping that the deliverance that they're experiencing in context of fidelity to God's commandments. Okay? Now, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, we're just doing a brief study here in chronological order to demonstrate that the Sabbath is more than just a creation ideal, but now it's a symbol of deliverance. When we've already read Exodus 20 and the giving of the Ten Commandments there, but when Moses reiterates the commandment for the Sabbath in Deuteronomy chapter 5, why don't you read verses 12 through 15 of how he words it this time.
The Bible says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day."
Now, I've heard people say, now, clearly there's a contradiction. Because Exodus chapter 20 says we should keep it because of creation and his modeling of it and establishment there. But now he says the reason we keep it is because of this. So which is it? And the answer, of course, is yes. Does it hark back to creation and God's original ideal? Absolutely. It's still a memorial to his creation. But now there's this added dimension of deliverance from sin.
This is actually predicated on the other.
Yeah,
in other words, creation comes first, and that basis for the Sabbath keeping. No, people, I've heard people bring this up and say, well, you know, this is only for the Israelites because they're the only ones that were slaves in Egypt.
But if you take it in isolation, that can make a point. But in the broader context of Scripture, both, by the way, the deliverance of Egypt, out of Egypt, which also symbolizes our deliverance from sin, right?
Yes.
And God's original creation are both, in fact, not just both, they are the two main works of Christ in the Bible. God, Christ is our creator, and he's our redeemer, and the Sabbath is a memorial to both. Why don't you read what the lesson there on Wednesday said in paragraph 6?
Paragraph 6 says, because the Exodus is seen as a symbol of freedom from sin, this is redemption. We can find in the Sabbath a symbol of both creation and redemption. Hence, in a very real way, the Sabbath points us to Jesus, our Creator, and our Redeemer.
So the whole lesson is about rest in Christ, and the Sabbath, of course, is one of the quintessential ways that we can truly experience rest in Christ. Christ is our Creator, and Christ is our Redeemer. And that's what we're looking at in the first 2 points of this lesson this week.
That's right.
But now, Pastor Howard, in the time we have remaining, there's a third talking point. It says we should consider carefully how we keep the Sabbath. Now, up until this point, we can say, yes, creation is true. God rested first. It's his holy day. Then it expanded into our sin condition and the Israelites' deliverance, you know, being a reflection of that or being an object lesson for it, and how the deliverance out of that bondage is also commemorated by Sabbath keeping. Okay. The problem with both of those two things, that's the problem, but we could walk away saying, that's a good idea, but what does it do for me now? And I'll tell you, I had a little bit of a hiccup, let's say. On Thursday afternoon, once you read the first paragraph of Thursday's lesson,
God commands his people to keep the Sabbath day, right along with not murdering and not stealing, as a command to remember the Sabbath. even though the Bible doesn't give us specifics on exactly how we are to keep it.
Mm. And the note that I had in my lesson is, what? With three or four exclamation points and whatnot. Now,
got to be a typo of some sort.
Yeah, I don't think that's a typo necessarily, but maybe if it means...
Certainly wasn't intended to sound the way that it does.
Exactly. It could be read to say, like, I guess it's just a principle of Sabbath keeping, but really, however I want to do it is up to me. I don't. The Bible doesn't give us insight.
Right.
When I would take a bit of a question with that and say, I think the Bible does give, first of all, the commandment itself gives specifics within the law.
Right.
About...
Not laboring.
Not laboring yourself.
Right.
Or your even your animals, right. Or your strangers, or the workers. Okay. So there's... Also command to work 6 days, rest the seventh day. How do you rest on the seventh day? So clearly the physical rest is obvious right there. But also we think about
buying and selling.
Buying and selling. Between the specifics in the commandment.
Your own pleasure or speaking your own words in Isaiah 58. You know,
yes. Between the specific command, the examples of, say, Jesus and Nehemiah.
The Holy Convocation,
the principles.
Jesus and the apostles going into synagogue, public worship.
Exactly. In this lesson, I've listed out several, like the daily labor, buying and selling provisions, activities focused on merely personal. The scripture is clear. We need to avoid those things. At the same time, there are many things we should freely enjoy. Spending time in nature, the Psalms talk about that. Worshiping God, the family, and fellow believers. Christ-like service to others. Just read through the Gospels and see how Jesus kept the Sabbath. So, I don't believe it's the case that the Bible doesn't give us specifics. But it still is incumbent upon us to take the biblical counsel and apply it in our lives. That's true. So I would just be careful not to give the impression that Sabbath is a principle and not too much a practical consideration. Well, I think Scripture gives us both.
It sure does.
Well, anyway, inside of this Thursday, there's also things like the idea of cultivating an atmosphere of joy and rest on the Sabbath day. So we don't want to get the impression it's supposed to be just doom and gloom. Of course not. It's happiness and joy. And that preparation for the Sabbath should be part of our regular weekly activity.
Well, when you think of a lot of the different things you've listed there and the reasoning behind some of it, if you're going to rest, I mean, if a person goes on vacation, they're going to get their certain things done ahead of time. In preparation. It's like, I'm not going to do this on vacation. I'm not going to do this on vacation. And even when Cameron and I are going to be gone on vacation, we record extra talking points. In other words, you make preparation for that so that while you're on vacation, it's like, oh, I got to go back to Michigan, go back into the office, go in and record a talking points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
So it just is inherent in any kind of plan for rest.
Mm-hmm.
That you're going to make preparation for that. And a lot of the don't do on the Sabbath are things that if you were doing this, you couldn't rest.
Well, I think also when it comes to, again, we have one day of this lesson titled Keeping the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And then it goes into, there's one sentence about relationship with family, the next sentence, corporate worship, the next one, preparing for the Sabbath. It's like there's an entire week's worth of discussion and rich material.
Yeah, that's what we're getting into as we...
And that's what I'm saying. I don't want to dive too much into what we might be getting into next week, but there's plenty to talk about when it comes to the application of the Sabbath in our lives today. And that's what Thursday's lesson is trying to get us to. Anyway, on Thursday, paragraph 3, you're looking ahead, I think. I was going to ask you to read the paragraph 3 from Thursday's.
Remember the Sabbath does not begin on the seventh day, as the first Sabbath was the culmination of the creation week. So we should remember the Sabbath day all week and plan ahead so that we can set aside our weekly work and thus keep it holy when the Sabbath comes. Intentionally preparing during the week, and especially on the preparation day or Friday, is key and adds to the delight as anticipation builds for this very special day.
My takeaway from this Thursday's Keeping the Sabbath Day is simply that the Sabbath is something that is deliberate. The Sabbath is something we need to keep about what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We need to think about what we're not going to do. We need to make plans ahead of time and actively provide for the keeping of Sabbath long before the Sabbath comes. So there's so much when we look at, you know, 1/7 of our life, one day of every week set aside for this, and it's supposed to be the day God communes with us, we shouldn't look at that.
We should
casually or flippantly. We should be very purposeful about our Sabbath keeping.
We should keep in mind that, you know, for a lot of people, Sabbath is about rest, and we think just physical.
Mm.
And so it doesn't matter if I, you know, work myself to exhaustion all during the week, I'll just sleep all Sabbath.
Mm.
But if the Sabbath is a spiritual day that I'm supposed to spend with the Lord and communicate with Him in nature, in studying, whatever else,
mm-hmm.
fellowship with it, and I'm sleeping all day,
mm.
I miss the blessing of the Sabbath. So preparation for the Sabbath, part of it is getting adequate rest during the week. You know, I know a lot of people who leave for Sabbath things they're not willing to sacrifice their own time for.
Come on now.
It's like, yeah, I'll do that on Sabbath. You know, we'll have a family day. A lot of people, well, there's not. You should spend time with family on the Sabbath. But I know people, I know dads who work so hard, they're not going to sacrifice any of their money-making time during the week. So Sabbath is big family day, even to the exclusion of the Lord's Day.
Mercy.
And it needs to be remembered that Sabbath is the Lord's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And even as a family, you should be doing things with it. Now, I can't go out on outreach have people tell me because I'm just
it's my family.
Family
time, yeah.
Take your kids with you. They love to go on.
Amen. Yeah, and so, again, I think what they're trying to drive home here is, given the importance of creation and redemption, this is God's day, and we should be purposeful about how we keep it, and we should
That's
be mindful
right.
and make a plan for it, and not
That's
just
right.
have it be offhandedly. Anyway, the conclusion is from Sabbath. I mean, it's from Friday afternoon. It says, the Sabbath is a wonderful gift from God. It reminds us of His power to create and redeem. As Christians, we should delight ourselves in the Lord on His holy day and seek by His grace to become more like Him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a fantastic... well, yeah, and also, by the way, for those Sabbath school teachers this week, the discussions on Friday afternoon were really thought-provoking. They're going to be great conversation starters. They're going to be great things. And my little note was, why couldn't there be an extended study on these questions alone? Like, there's a lot of practice. So there's a ton of practicality baked into this week's lesson that could be really drawn out.
Would it be wrong for us to do the talking points and just base it on discussion questions at the end of the week and build the lesson on that?
Why don't you
do
one week
sometime.
And just really go off the rails? Go crazy. Yeah. But as Sabbath school teachers, you're allowed to lead it. So if you want to emphasize the more big picture, like origins of the Sabbath and God's day, that's great. If you want to look down the practical aspect, that would be great too. But all of that is cooked into this week's lesson. So there's a lot of material, and I think it's going to be a blessing as we have
Amen.
Sabbath school classes study this important topic. Pastor Howard, can you give us a word of prayer?
That's great. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the Sabbath and the blessing that it is. We pray, Lord, that You would forgive us for our shortcomings in regard to Sabbath keeping, Lord, that we lose so much of the blessing so often because we don't prepare during the week. And I just pray, Lord, that as we study this with our classes for this particular lesson, it will help enrich all of our experiences with You on the Sabbath day. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.